St. John Bosco, remember that? So St. John Bosco, his father is, what name is the father? Francis Bosco. Francis Bosco married Maria, and they have a son, Anthony, but Maria died. So Anthony was difficult to look after. And so Francis married again to Margaret, and so Margaret had two sons, Joseph and St. John Bosco. But before St. John Bosco reached 2 years old, Francis died. His father died. And so Margaret, looking after three boys, Anthony, Joseph, and John Bosco. Who is the most difficult one? Of course, Anthony, huh? So Anthony, really difficult. So he beat up the two younger brothers. He would be a difficult child. But Margaret make a point, never use corporal punishment. So she always, you know, reason with Anthony. And so eventually when he grew up as an adult, Anthony was much better, a good man. But when he was teenage, young adult, it's pretty difficult to deal with. And Margaret will use a lot of opportunity to teach the boys about God, prayer. And even like John Bosco, you know, when he was loving the birdies, Margaret would use the birdies to give a lesson to John Bosco about life, about not to inherit, you know, unjust wealth, not to overeat, like, you know, when the bird eat too much and die. Margaret used that as an opportunity to teach John Bosco some life lesson. But also, St. John Bosco, when he was 9 years old, he got a prophetic dream. In that dream, he saw himself with the young people, and the young people were misbehaving, blaspheming. So he wanted to use force to stop them. But Jesus appeared to him in the dream, told him not to use force. And also, Jesus promised to give him a teacher, and that's our Blessed Lady. In that dream, John Bosco saw the young people became different kinds of animals. The cats, the dogs, all kinds of animals. And then they changed into sheep. And so that become a prophetic dream for John Bosco that he would become a priest and helping young boys to become good. So that's his vocation. So after that, John Bosco have that strong desire to be a priest, and he would also do some apostolic work with the young people. During winter time, he would read stories to them, but also in the warm season, he wanted to have some performance for them. So John Bosco, 11 years old only, he by catching bird and sell them, by making bird cage, by using the herbs and sow them, he raised some money to buy tickets, and he went to performance, and he observed carefully how people perform, how people play magic, and he would perform as an 11 years old boy before the young boys, before other people. He was popular, but he was not a usual performer. Usually, right at the end of the program, he would stop suddenly and ask everybody to join to pray the rosary. Or he would tell what he heard in the morning of the sermon to the people and before the last performance. So John Bosco at that time was at home and a farm boy. But also he knew to be a priest, he had to study. And so he liked to read books. He wanted to get ready for study. But his brother, the half-brother, Anthony, made life difficult for John Bosco because he really opposed to John Bosco studying. When in the year 1826, it was the year when John Bosco made his first communion. Did I mention about his first communion already? Maybe not to this group, huh? So Margaret, you know, told John Bosco, my John, God has a great gift in store for you. Be sure to be well prepared. Make a full confession, omit nothing. Confess everything. Repent and promise God to do better in the future. So Margaret was helping John Bosco. He received First Communion in the year 1826 on Easter Sunday, March 26. During Lent, she brought him every day to catechism class, and she also brought John Bosco to make confession 3 times during Lent so that he could make his First Communion really well. And St. John, also the mother told John Bosco to promise God to do his best to remain good until the day he died. And then she also told John Bosco, in the future, go frequently to Holy Communion and beware not to commit sacrilege. In confession, tell all you know, obey always, go readily to catechism classes and sermons, and for love of God, avoid like plague those who use foul language. So she was a mother who really prepared John Bosco well for his First Communion. Now that year, earlier on February, the grandmother of John Bosco died. And after the grandmother died, Anthony, being the half-brother, he became more and more resistant to the family and maybe a bit also distant from the family. And he especially resists John studying. Now, the end of October, when Margaret suggests to send John to a priest to learn some Latin, Anthony reacts strongly. And he said, "Why Latin? What need do we have of Latin in the house? All we need is work." So Anthony just wants people to work, doesn't want John Bosco to study. And then when Anthony opposed to the idea of John Bosco becoming priest, he said, "To make a priest, it takes more than 10,000 lire." You know, the currency in Italy at that time, it was a huge sum of money for a farm family. One day, Anthony declared to Margaret and Joseph, the brother, he said, "Enough is enough. I will put an end to this schooling thing. I have grown big and strong without ever seeing any books." And John Bosco, overcame by distress and anger, responded, "Of course, even our donkey has never gone to school, and he is bigger and stronger than you are." And so Anthony was really angry. He attempted to beat up John Bosco, but John Bosco escaped. But tension started to grow in the house for the next few days, until at some supper time one evening, when Anthony saw a book beside the plate, he got so angry that he thoroughly beat up John Bosco. This time he wasn't able to escape. And so the next day, Margaret had to make a really tough decision. He asked John Bosco to be away from the home for the time being to avoid Anthony. So John Bosco was living among the friends of Margaret for a while, but relationship with Anthony didn't improve. So next year, in the year 1827 when he left home, so 1828, he actually went to a farm, to a wealthy farmer named Lewis, to be able to find a job there. So John Bosco walked 5.5 miles to the farm, and the owner, Lewis, when he met John Bosco, he told him to go home. Because, you know, at that time it was February, they would not need anybody until spring. Usually in Italy, you know, they would think that they only need people after the Feast of the Annunciation, which is March 25th. So when John Bosco heard that, he just broke down in tears. And then he said, "You know, I can work, I can work," and he started to do something. So the family, they have pity on John Bosco, and they persuade the owner, Lewis, to let him stay and just do something. After a few days, they were so glad they got John Bosco, because he was just such a good, hard-working boy. And so Louis contacted Margaret and say, I want to pay him something every year. So it was decided to pay him 15 lire every year. For those days, for a boy, it's a huge amount of money. So at first, you know, John Bosco and Margaret will be content, just give room and board, that's all he needs. But Louis insists to give money, because he was working so good. And so, you know, he would join the family praying the rosary. He would be really diligent, praying morning, evening prayer, and working hard during the day. And one evening, when at night time, when he was in the bedroom, he light a candle and start to read some book. Nobody opposed, so he did that the next day. And so now, in that way, he also able to read at night time, keep up his study a bit. Now, in the good old days, before Bob was born, it wasn't that common. And not only here today. I think he got enough of me, he gone now. So, in the good old days, it wasn't common people to receive Holy Communion. Really uncommon. If you receive once every week, it's considered really frequent already in those days, in the good old days. And so, quite often on a Sunday, people go to the high mass, you know, the mass that is a bit later with the Gregorian chant, with the organ. But nobody will receive communion, only the priest. If you want to receive communion, you must arrange with the parish priest. So John Bosco, on Saturday, he was always an obedient boy. So he would ask the wife of the owner, the wife of Louis, can I go to early mass tomorrow morning? And she gave him permission. After a few times, she was a bit suspicious. What is this young boy up to early in the morning? So the wife went to the church earlier than John Bosco and hid in a corner to see what he was really up to. Sure enough, in the Sunday early morning, John Bosco went to the parish church and went to confession. And then he attended Mass and then devoutly received Holy Communion. So when he went back home, the wife asked John Bosco, is that because you want to receive communion so that you ask permission to go to the early Mass? And John Bosco found himself being discovered and he admit that's the reason. You know, because in those days to receive communion, you have to go to confession first and then go to communion and you have to arrange that with the parish priest. So he did that every Sunday. So the wife told John Bosco, from now on, just go. No need for permission. So the family really found that he's really pious, you know, want to receive communion frequently, and also, you know, doing prayer every day, devoutly. So John Bosco was living there, a hard-working man. Eventually, he left that place because of the suggestion of his uncle, his mother's brother. His uncle visited him and suggest him to go back home, that he would arrange that he would got education, because in there he can only read book but no formal education. So he went back home and the uncle helped to arrange, but he somehow failed because he thought he could arrange something with one of the priests, but all the priests are too busy, nobody want to take him for tutoring or teaching anything. But in November 1929, there was an elderly parish priest who came, Father Colosso. And this priest was an elderly good priest, because not only he taught John Bosco Italian and Latin, he also became a spiritual father for John Bosco. He gave him spiritual direction. And so he found that, you know, it was actually the kind of relationship he needed at that time. But now he finds that it's really helpful for his spiritual life. Now we know that at the end of our prayer meeting, we use the John Bosco blessing, invoking the intercession of Mary, help of Christians. That's the devotion really strong. John Bosco promoted that devotion. He performed many miracles. We will talk about those miracles in the future by invoking Our Lady under this title. But this elderly priest, he was the one who reviled an association to honor of Mary Help of Christian in his parish before. He also dedicated an altar under this title. So it is quite possible, we don't know for sure, but it's possible that John Bosco learned about devotion to Mary Help of Christian first from this priest. So, and also this priest was treating John Bosco like his own son. He would tell John Bosco, don't worry about your future. As long as I shall live, I will see to it that you will not lack anything. And after my death, you will also be provided for. But unfortunately, that relationship only lasts for 1 year. Because the next year, in November 1830, suddenly one day, somebody came to John Bosco, told him the priest was really sick. He got a heart attack. And so he went there, and the priest was dying, couldn't speak anymore. But he gestured John Bosco and gave him a key, and everybody there knew he wanted to give what is in the drawer to John Bosco. So gave him the key to open that. So, and after 2 days, he died. Now, inside the drawer with the key open there is, I think there's 6,000 lire. In those days, it's a huge amount of money that can solve all the problem of John Bosco's education. But there was some uncertainty. Some people, they were present, they said, no doubt the priest want to give all the money to John Bosco. But some people, they opposed and they said, you know, the gesture of a dying man doesn't count. Only a written will count. So the nephew of the priest, when they came, they listened to both sides, and they told John Bosco, it seems that uncle wanted you to have this money, take whatever you want. So John Bosco thought about that, and perhaps he didn't want to cause any more fighting within the family of the priest. He simply said, I don't want anything. And he gave the key to the family. And so he, because he also, maybe there was some uncertainty, didn't want to risk his salvation. He didn't want to take anything that might be uncertain. He just gave up any right that he might have of that inheritance. So he prayed a lot for that priest and even dreamt about him in dream. In the year 1931, December, John started to attend a public school. Castelvuono in Italy. There's a place in Italy, whatever that might be. Yeah. And so Margaret accompanied John to go to that town and said, be devoted to Our Lady. She will help you grow up well. Now, in the school, John Bosco was 15 years old by that time. He found himself studying with boys 10, 11 years old. But there was a priest at that time to help him, and he made good progress. But again, unfortunately, after a little while, maybe a few months, that priest was made pastor of a parish. So to replace him was a 75 years old priest. This elderly priest couldn't control the classroom. You know, boys are boys, right? We see them all over there, you know, 75 years old, and then boys from different ages, and all in one big room. You know, in those days, they have all the different classes in one big room. And he could not control the class. He always blamed on the tallest one. They thought that they are the troublemaker, you know. And so John Bosco was 15 years old. He was the tallest of all. And also, John Bosco came from the countryside. I think the place is called Pitchy. Something like that. You know, that the place where John Bosco came from. He got a really strong idea that people came from that village have no use. You know, he would say to John Bosco, pick your mushroom. Get your vegetable. You know, that is good for you. Latin, no way. You cannot do it. So he got a really strong prejudice, you know, against people from the country. So, you know, it's really, really not good at all. So he makes things really difficult for John Bosco. I didn't include in the article so not to scandalize people, but tell you what happened. When John Bosco, you know, when he was going to the class, because they would have to determine which grade you are going to according to the exam. So John Bosco wants to take the exam that is equal to here grade 9. Equal to grade 9. And so it was a bit like jumping ahead. That John Bosco do have that capacity in Latin. So the teacher was telling him, the teacher didn't want him to take the test at all. Say, you know, go back to your place, get your mushroom, you know, whatever. Latin is not for you. You're a country boy. But John Bosco insists, and the teacher gave him the test and say, write down whatever you want, I won't look at your test. So he did the test really quick, and then he finished, he gave it to the teacher. And then he just put it aside, not even looking at that. And then John Bosco asked, you know, can you look at that? He said, I told you, I won't look at that, you know, it's garbage. And then one of the students say, if it's garbage, read that out to us so that at least we know how wrong he was. So the student pressured him, and so he read the thing. And after he read, you know, he say, I told you that everybody come from that place, they are no use, they are fool. You know, John Bosco, he copied exam. You know, because all right, no mistake. And then so the other student will say, okay, if there is a copying, why don't you compare his test with my test or other people's test, and you know if he copied or not. And he got angry and say, what do you know? I told you, people come from Fiji, they are all fool, whatever. So nobody, he would not listen to anybody. So basically, his time there was wasted, you know, was wasted in that place. But somehow it's not wasted because it's no use to be in school, you know, with that teacher. And he was the only one there, you know, in those days, only one teacher. So he would actually also using that time to learn some practical skills, you know, working with the hammer, working with all kinds of technical skills. Those skills eventually came handy because as a priest, eventually, when he worked for poor boys, what he would do? He opened workshops for them so they could learn technical skills. Eventually, John Bosco would open technical school workshop for them to learn skill, but also the academic school for them to learn how to study. So those skills that he learned back then as a young boy actually came handy when he opened the workshops. So the time wasn't completely wasted. But in terms of study, that not much use there. So eventually they have to make some decision and to go elsewhere for study. But anyhow, I will tell you more about his study. Maybe I can tell you even now, you know, since we're talking about study. Hopefully I have something to talk about next week still. Okay. Now, because of the ill treatment, they have to decide to go to another town for study because that town wasn't working. Go to another town. And in order to go to another town, they need money. They need money. So John Bosco, how he got the money? There was a festival going on in one of the towns, one of the villages, the parish feast day. One of the items of celebration is that they would have a pula, a stick, going up, but it's all really slippery with oil. So, and then on top is a circle with all kinds of gifts, you know, sausage, but also a purse with 20 lira. So that's the money. Think about money. You know, he only earned 15 per year in that farm. Now $20 there, up there for you to pay. So the young man, they saw it, wow, wonderful. They all went, and he would cheer, but all of them, halfway, they were so tired, and they slept down. And everybody, ooh. So everybody fell. But John Bosco was a good observer. Remember, he looked at people perform, he could learn the skill by just observing. He knew why they fell. They all went up so fast, and so no energy to go on. So John Bosco went, He go really slow. One step at a time. Stop, rest, and then go another step, and stop, and rest. And people were shouting and say, you know, it's slow. But he didn't pay attention to the people. He just kept on going. And then when he get to the really high, everybody just keep quiet. And then he kept on going until he got the prize. And everybody cheer. So he got the money. But still that is not enough for all the expense. So he was doing something that really would be humiliating. He asked the mother, Mama, if you agree, I will take two bears and make a collection from the families around. Now John Bosco would be the biggest, most successful beggar, you can say, in the 19th century, because he raised a lot of money. When the Pope couldn't handle Sacred Heart Basilica in Rome because of lack of funds, he entrusted the whole project to John Bosco, and he raised funds to finish that basilica. And he already finished a basilica in Turin, Mary Help of Christians. So he was the most powerful beggar in the 19th century. But now this time he started to beg the first time in his life for money, going for study. So it was humiliating. So he went from door to door telling people, I am Margaret Bosco's son. I'm going to, you know, I think that town is pronounced as Chiri, to study for the priesthood. My mother is poor. Please help me if you can. So the people, they all like John Bosco. They look at his performance already. They knew him. So they all really kind, but have no money too. They are poor farmers. So they gave him whatever they could, you know, the egg, you know, the wheat, you know, whatever they could give him. But no money. But one lady, you know, she is really brave, you know, she saw that and said, not right, you know. She went to a parish priest and said, why are you not having John Bosco, you know? Give to bed, you know, it's a shame that you're not having him to be studied to be a priest. And the priest have no clue what's going on. So he just investigate, find out what happened. He was mistreated, you know, in another school. He needed to go to another place to study. So he managed to collect some money and give to Margaret. And also able to let Margaret know about a lady also settling in that town. So that lady was a widow with a 12-year-old son. The son was misbehaving. And so she was happy that she got John Bosco in her home because he actually influenced her son, and her son eventually became good because of John Bosco. So she gave him room and board free and let him stay there. So John Bosco, he went to study in another town, and he was 16 years old at that time. And he was studying grade 6, basically, with the 11, 12-year-old boys. So he would be laughed at, you know, at the beginning, you know, such a big guy, you know, and then the clothing is not quite suitable, it's just so big, you know, poor farm boy. But he was working really hard. In less than 2 months, you know, he was so well that he promoted to grade 7. And then in grade 7, he was doing extremely well. And then in 2 months, he promoted to grade 8. So in 1 year, he went from grade 6 to grade 8. Pretty fast. So when he was in grade 8, he went to the classroom. I forgot to bring the storybook, but basically something like that. I got from memory. When he went to the classroom, the teacher was saying, you know, he's a big tall guy, you know, with all the boys. They say, either you are a genius or you are a fool, because he just come to the class in the middle of the school year, and everybody laughed, and then John Bosco was really humble and say, I'm not a genius, I'm not a fool, I just want to learn. Teacher was impressed and said, okay, I will help you, you know. I will help you to learn. So the teacher was impressed that he was so humble and he was so hardworking. Now one day there was an incident. When he was in the class, the teacher was going through some Latin text. So Latin text, and he was reading, explaining. John Bosco forgot his textbook. In those days, no textbook, you get punished by the teacher. You know, the teacher know that ruler, you know. Wash your hands, you know.
punish. Stand at the corner. Put your hands on the ears. Whatever, you know, teacher, you know. Yeah. Yeah. So Rambocco forgot the textbook. So he got maybe Italian grammar or Latin grammar, but whatever that might be. He just got another book, pretend to be the textbook, just put it before. And then the other student, they look at him, they start to smile, they talk to one another, they're pushing one another, and the teacher found the classroom is out of control. What is going on? So he asked, what is going on? And they all look at John Bosco. And so, and then he went to John Bosco, and they asked John Bosco, stand up! John Bosco stood up. Okay. Read, he thought that he got the book, right? Read the text and the explanation. So from memory, he just recites the whole thing and from on all the explanation. And after that, because the student knew what's going on, right? They all applaud and they all cheer. But the teacher now gets even more angry. It's the first time ever he could not control the class. He wanted to hit John Bosco, but John Bosco escaped and the hand fell on the book. And then he demanded what is going on. And so one of the students told the teacher what's going on. And then he looked at the book, couldn't quite believe what's going on. Can you recite two more paragraphs? And from memory, he recited two more paragraphs. And then everybody, after that, they were all cheering and clapping their hands. And then the teacher said, I forgive you because of your wonderful memory. You are a fortunate person. See that you always make use of it for good. Now, John Bosco also, he got something, also something quite exceptional. Sometime before an exam or a test, he would know already what is on the exam in his dream. So one time there was a test, and he was asked to translate, a text from Latin to Italian. And there are some really fine points that will be easy to make mistakes. But John Bosco, he was doing the test so fast, and then he hand in the exam really quick. The teacher looked at that. Wow, no, not a single mistake. And then say, give me your notes. And then he got the notes. And then the note that he was working on, is the including test, but also another paragraph that was actually decided by the teacher the night before to be in the test, but eventually he omit that part because he found it's too long. But when John Bosco got the dream, he got the dream about the original plan of the teacher. And so the teacher saw the original plan of his exam, even more amazed because it was the night before that he decided, and then he changed his mind. But nobody knew what was on the exam except him. And then he asked him, "Where you got that from?" He just said, "From my dreams." So he got some really prophetic dream in his life. Eventually, we will talk about more of his dreams. Like for example, he would have dreamed about all the condition of the soul of all the students in the school. He would know which students are the good one, which are the bad one, which are the one that pretend to be good but actually bad. He would know everybody, what is in their heart, in the dream. So it's a lot of amazing dream that he had in his life, John Bosco. So when in his study, he was already sowing that. So next time when we continue, we will talk about John Bosco, how he formed friendship as a young student, and also about how he discerned his vocation. His vocation to either to become a religious priest or to become a diocesan priest. That was his struggle. And eventually he made up his mind to be a diocesan priest. And so we'll talk more about that next time. So next Saturday already, huh? Because we moved the meeting, I was away on vacation last week, so we have meeting next week.